This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, no one believes that. 216-474-0092. Who are you moving on from? I appreciate him trying to BS this. As a professional BS artist, I can appreciate good BS, and I appreciate that from Miles. I appreciate the effort to keep the fans involved. That's what cornerstones of franchises do, and that's why if a trade came across my desk that looked like even if it were a Godfather offer, I'd have to go, Miles, can you come to the facility? We need to talk. Can we discuss this? Do you want to Zoom? Do we just need to do it over the phone? We need to talk, and I need to give you the right of first refusal. I don't even know if there's a trade clause or a no trade clause in his contract. I'm just saying out of the principle of the thing, it would be for the nicety of it. But we've talked about that many times in the past before. 216-474-0092. I mean, it's a big day today. That's why you have to keep it here, 92.3 The Fan, 92.3thefan.com, because a trade could happen at any time within the next 33 hours here of what they could possibly do. So it looks like Za'Darius Smith is very well on his way out. Mike Florio spoke yesterday about that on football. Was it Football Night in America that Mike had talked about that?
Before the Sunday night
game. Yeah, before the Sunday night game. By the way, Cavs-Warriors tickets coming up at 7:40, and your chance to attend the Browns fan cruise. You can get your code word at 9, which Lima's already commented on about the dancing on a second nonstop for the Cleveland Browns.
That was some terrific choreography. All at once on a second down play to all burst into song and dance. That was incredible.
We have some of the greatest showmen in the world, don't we? Here is Florio yesterday, Football Night in America, Pro Football Talk. Hit it.
Well, we reported earlier today there's an expectation the Browns will trade veteran pass rusher Za'Darius Smith to the Lions before Tuesday's deadline. The Lions have been looking for help ever since the injury that was suffered a few weeks back by Aiden Hutchinson. Now, after the game, Coach Kevin Stefanski had no comment on the report, and Za'Darius Smith left the locker room before he could talk to reporters.
So I think he's probably gone. I mean, Za'Darius Smith has talked about it already, and it seems that, you know, these things are... I think the Browns were in a position where they didn't want to admit that the season was coming to an end, and I didn't want to admit either a couple of weeks ago, so I can understand that. But now he's still healthy. There's still probably an offer out there. The Lions are playing. They might be the very best team in football right now.
Incredible.
They went up to Green Bay and dismantled the Packers in the rain yesterday.
We're actually going to have a Thanksgiving day that I'm looking forward to watching Detroit Lions play football.
Yeah, they're just a hoot to watch. I think a lot of people love watching the Lions. But right now we're not having a hoot watching the Cleveland Browns, and there's not a lot of fun to watch them. There is some gold in them, their hills, but at 2-7, I think it's just left a sour taste in everybody's mouth. And, you know, there might be some conversations about making trades just out of anger. Like Florio went on, he mentioned even David Njoku yesterday as a trade target for some teams. Here's Florio again.
Now that the Browns have lost again, other veteran players could be available over the next 48 hours. One name to keep an eye on, tight end David Njoku. He could be available for the right price.
I'm open.
Boy, that was interesting.
I'm open for business.
He's not somebody that we've ever really mentioned as trade bait. Why is that we miss that? Because obviously if he's mentioning that name,
an agent has said something to him.
Right.
Another general manager has said something to him. There's possibilities there. He mentions that name because I think he's a sought-after commodity where people are going, hey, with the right quarterback, this guy can be fantastic. With a competing team with the right quarterback, this guy can be fantastic. And I think that we've seen him with good quarterback play. He's been fantastic for this team. But again, it's where are you going? Now, without him, you're left with very little at the tight end spot. I mean, you would bring back Blake Whitehart. You would have Jordan Akins there. But again, you're 2-7. So what are we holding on to? And I think that's what a lot of people have resigned themselves to is, you know, what what can we get out of some of these guys, and look forward to something better in 2025, 2026, and beyond. That's where we're at.
Well, I think there are going to be people, because I've already seen this, I've already heard this, say that they're worried about tanking it out and starting from scratch and tearing down. But I will tell all of those people, like, pay attention to the way the league is shifting. This doesn't mean, if the Browns make trades over the next 2 days, this doesn't mean that we are starting over. Because I am seeing time and time again in this league how Houston basically rebuilt in like one draft in 1 year. The Chicago Bears, how quickly they went from being awful to at least competitive. The Washington Commanders
are the example right now.
They are the example.
Because they traded away names.
Right.
They moved on
from
guys
that were... When did they trade Chase Young?
Last year at the deadline, I believe. I mean, they traded away...
Right, so their fans were thinking, this is hopeless. They're going to be bad for years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
And then literally the next year, they are not only a good team, they're one of the stories of the NFL.
Yeah.
So just because, if you hear Browns trade anybody, I mean,
they moved
over the
on
next...
from Montez Sweat last year at the end at the deadline.
That's
He was a fantastic player for them. Go ahead.
All I'm saying is, just because they make trades, and they will make trades. I mean, obviously, Za'Darius Smith is not even under contract beyond this year, right? So we're thinking of other guys, too, that would be under contract past this year. But we'll see the Browns make trades, and I'm gonna for me, as a fan, I mean, are you not going to sign off on some of these deals? Do you really think that means that the Browns are buried and dead for the next 5 years? It's not really how the league works.
But I think a lot of people, they look at the contract of the quarterback and they think that they're buried for dead. I mean, if he plays or doesn't play, you're still on the hook for how long? And I think it's 90% of the people don't want to see him play.
Well, if the Browns...
I do think the percentage is that high, too.
If the Browns really, really felt that way, like, oh, we're just screwed either way, then they would trade everybody. They're not. They're not going to trade everybody. No. But if they really felt that they were going to be really hamstrung by that contract, then they really would trade Myles Garrett. They really would trade anybody and everybody.
But it's also why, and I'm going to mention this coming up in the next segment. I know we want to mention some Cavs here, too, but it's also why... Like, guys, you just get comfortable with the fact that they're going to take a quarterback. Somewhere, wherever they land, if they land at fifth, they're going to try to move up. They're going to try to do what they can. Because if they don't move on from everybody, they have veterans there, and it becomes the same conversation. Unless you were to trade some of these guys before the draft or whatever you want to do, fine, I guess. But it becomes the same conversation. Is that you bring back some of these guys that are veterans there. All right, well, I have to ignite things somehow, and I have to get the fans excited somehow. So I know everybody wants to bring up Arch Manning. You can't afford to wait another year. Because as of right now, Andrew Berry's still employed with you. Paul DiPodesta is still employed with you, and so is Kevin Stefanski. So there's no affording to wait another year. You move on to somebody this draft. Because you can't guarantee you're going to get the pick for Arch Manning for the year after that. Like, that conversation to me is somewhere down the line. But the quarterback possibility now is, all right, Cam Ward, who's been fantastic. Shedeur Sanders, who has rocketed, I think he rocketed up the board for fans out there, I think, over this year. But he was already near the top of the board already. And a couple of other names that would get brought out there. I mean, those are the names that kind of stand out to everybody. That's where you're going. Because I think that it is always a copycat league. And I think the Browns look at what the Commanders have done. Maybe even what the Bears have done, but really the Commanders, and say, well, why can't we do that? They got rid of some veterans. They still kept some guys. They brought in Jaden Daniels. They had a calm demeanor with what they wanted to do things. They have a good offensive mind, even though I hate him as a head coach in Cliff Kingsbury, and they've been able to take off and play well. And Jaden Daniels has obviously exceeded some expectations, but has played up to the level of a hotshot rookie. Like, that's where I think that their expectations are going to be. 216-474-0092. I know that this was a tough loss. I know that Jameis Winston played poorly. I know that I'm frustrated with the lack of power that it seems that Kevin Stefanski may have. You're the head coach of a football team, for crying out loud. But right now the focus has to be on what this team is going to do to get better here in the long term. And that means that we probably have seen some guys play in their final game as a Cleveland Brown. 216-474-0092. We'll get to you guys. Who do we need to hold on to? Who do we need to get rid of?
Seems like all those guys are smiling all the time. I don't think smiling is the issue.
They love to smile. Smiling is their favorite.
Those guys are having a blast playing football.
Here is
I don't know if the fans have the same reaction because they showed fans for the final 5 minutes of that game yesterday. Normally, I'm off to the red zone, but I had the tablet, so I had the two viewing situation set up in my home because I had to see the faces, and they showed every fan that was left in that stadium yesterday.
They did not look like they were thrilled. Nathan Zagura, he did not mince words yesterday at the end of that football game. Here's Nathan.
The division title is far, far away, but what you have to wonder as you look out on the field right now, Andrew, is how many guys out there have played their last snap for the Cleveland Browns. You have got to be sellers in the trade market at the trade deadline, which is coming up, and we will see what ultimately will happen here.
That's Nathan. And it's hard to disagree with him. I mean, Lord, I think everybody agrees with him. Like, you have to focus on 2025 and beyond. This season is a wash right now. I think we are in college football watching mode. I think we're paying attention to the University of Miami. I don't think it's too early to even discuss that either. I think a lot of people are paying attention to that. You should pay attention to Colorado. You can pay attention to anybody else you want. Jameis, it was a lot of fun last week. It was not much fun yesterday. And a guy who's 10 years in, you're not going to make that type of investment. You're just not. Unless he just goes out and is gangbusters throughout the rest of the season. And he's not going to be. I mean, he'll have another 3-touchdown game and they'll win a football game, guaranteed. He can be a lot of fun. Jameis can be a lot of fun as a quarterback. But yesterday was one of the most frustrating days ever. You're driving in, give up a sack. You're driving in, you have an interception. You're driving in, you get another interception. You're driving in, you have another. And it's like there were so many things that just lost you the football game based on your offensive performance there. Your defense just couldn't hold it for the entire time. And you gave up too many big plays as well. You couldn't do it.
It's demoralizing because I think some fans got their hopes up because you beat Baltimore.
That was
a fun win. That was an awesome win, and you know we cherished it. I think we all in the back of our minds knew that they weren't going to be able to make the run that Joe Flacco and the Browns did last year. Different situations, too early in the year for this to happen. I mean, this is so early. You didn't have JOK out there. I think we all understand how significant that was defensively. And you just wondered what the buy-in was going to be. And like the defense was making these huge, huge plays. They were living in the backfield of the Chargers yesterday, the entire first half. The problem was you just had high school level communication going on that you just gifted them touchdowns. I mean, they were gifted touchdowns. And so you knew that was going to suck the energy out of the building. Plus, you also knew Jameis just didn't have it. I mean, basically from, I think, Jameis's first throw, I think he threw a ground ball very early on. He threw one in the dirt very early, and it was like, oh, get ready. You got bad Jameis. And so that was the other reason why it was hard to truly buy in for the rest of the year, knowing that Jameis just, he is a hot and cold quarterback to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And you got cold the entire day.
It's frozen. 216-474-0092. If there's anything positive here, Jason Lloyd writes, quote, "It's time to blow up the Browns. Miserable season should lead to an active trade deadline." Jeffrey in Cleveland, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I thought the Browns was very entertaining yesterday. I thought they, you know, it's just
entertaining.
It's amazing how we expect them to wipe out all these lesser teams and lesser quarterbacks, and they go out there and do the exact opposite. You know,
well, I don't think that they're even a lesser team. I mean, they're 5-3.
How not unprepared they are. You know, they seem really unprepared to win a football game.
I don't even know.
All these lesser teams just walking right over them.
I don't think the Chargers are a lesser team. Jeffrey, I think we're the lesser team. We went out and we lost, and we played poorly on offense. And we made too many mistakes defensively, and there were too many problems.
Well, I'm judging from last year. From last year, we was the more superior team.
Well, I mean,
against a lot of teams.
Hell, it's November 4th right now, Jeffrey. Thank you very much for the call. We are the lesser team in this situation. I mean, last year is last year. We move on and move forward, and this year is a mess. And I can be as mad as I want to at Kevin Stefanski. I just don't know how much power he has over this situation right now, which makes me mad at the entire situation. I get upset with power structure because, again, a head coach who's done a good job. I know it's a subjective thing about the awards he's won, but a guy who's done as well as he's done to seemingly get power taken away from him, I think it bothers me. I think it should bother a lot of fans. I think it should bother a lot of fans. Well, I don't know if this was all. And again, I wonder, what is the entire outlook of this season? You see, this is, it's not an analytical argument. It's the argument of those who are really in charge. You know, was this, I've seen them go out and just kind of experiment for a year. I saw them do it in 2021 with Baker with the injured shoulder. I saw them do it with Jacoby Brissett and then Deshaun Watson for the six games. I mean, they have wasted a lot of their veterans' time and a lot of your time basically just experimenting with, well, maybe this work will work in football. Maybe that will work in football. It's like we are a lab for Paulie Podesta to just goof around with the game of football. Meanwhile, you have guys there that you have serious interest in as a fan who have just wasted another season. Myles Garrett, two playoff appearances in 8 years? Two. Two playoff appearances, one playoff win, 8 years, Hall of Famer. Joe Batonio, borderline Hall of Famer. Two playoff appearances, one win. Denzel Ward, great player. I know he's often injured. Two playoff appearances, one win. Number four overall pick. Number four overall pick right there. You can go down the line. Look at this quote-unquote build and what it's got from us. One win, two playoff appearances in the playoffs. That's it. I mean, that's terrible. That's absolutely terrible. There are guys out there that are looked at as Cro-Magnon, the Neanderthal.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Football guys that run other organizations that will go to the playoffs again this year. Tough, hard-nosed football guys who will go out there and they will win another division and they will go and they will go to the playoffs again this year. And here we are with all these different arguments and all these different ways of showing all these different things. And all it does is explain our failure. That's all it does, is trying to find an explanation and really an excuse for our failure over the past 8 years. That's where I'm at with it.
Well, it's going to lead to a total house cleaning, right? I mean, it's hard for me to fathom that there isn't a total house cleaning.
It's what you say. Well, I mean, if it continues this way, yeah, there's only one way you can go with it.
I mean, how is it not going to continue this way? How would they, especially now they're trading guys. I mean, yeah. Za'Darius Smith is definitely gone. You're hearing David Njoku now as a rumored player
that
could be dealt.
You either move on from Greg Newsom or you give him a contract, or is what compensatory pick do you get from Greg Newsom? Is it worth the compensatory pick? Can you get a fourth? I don't know how they...
I mean, we've been talking about trading.
I'm blurry about how we are, yeah.
Since last year's deadline.
Well, in last year, I didn't want to move on from because you were a competitive football team at that point, and I didn't know if I could count on Denzel Ward. The difference is this year is that we're not a competitive football team. So, yeah, go ahead and make your arguments of what we can get back for Greg Newsom. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with a lot of these guys. There's two guys that I would have a conversation with before I moved on from. Miles and Nick Chubb. I don't know what type of market there is for Nick Chubb, but I would have a conversation with him. Hey, I want to get into this before we get into Fix My Life at 7:45. My expectations were high for the Cavs last year. I thought that they could be an Eastern Conference Finals team. This is why I'm not too terribly surprised. I think it's hurt, not ruined. I think it's hurt the excitement that I've had with the Cavs so far this year. At 7-0, and I'm thinking, well, they're still in the same neighborhood. Boston 6-1. They're in the same neighborhood as Boston. I expected them to be close to the same neighborhood as Boston last year. Like Donovan Mitchell winning a game the way he did the other night was excellent. I'm trying to find the right emotion for it because I'm excited that they're 7-0. I love the way that they're playing, but my expectations were high last year. I don't want it to sour this year. Like you're on cloud nine. Your expectations were not very high going into last year, at least not as high as mine. You were thinking playoffs and that's it. I thought they could be an Eastern Conference Finals team. You adjust as the season goes on, even though they had a 17-1 stretch at one point. But Anthony, like that's where I'm like, well, 7-0, not where you're supposed to be 7-0, but boy, they're playing really well. I expected them to play
well.
They
look like the best team in the NBA so far this year.
Yeah.
And I know,
and I want to give them credit for that.
I know there's a different conversation between how teams look today in November and the teams that you are calculating are going to be, you know, competing for the NBA Finals, everybody is going to pick Boston. I mean, they would have to have significant injuries for anybody to pick anybody but Boston to come out of the East. But this is incredible. It's impressive. This has been dominance. I thought the Cavs would come into the year with an advantage over at least in the regular season, over the Knicks and Philly, because those teams drastically reshaped their team.
Yeah.
You know, the whole goal with Philly is just to be healthy by the playoffs. They don't really care about the regular season. And the Knicks do care about the regular season, but you can see they are struggling with their new components and trying to shift as they want to be a team that has a higher ceiling. So I expected the Cavs to have the advantage over both of those teams early on because you just brought back the same roster for the most part. But I didn't expect them to look this dominant. This has been a joy to watch.
I want to know, did some people think that they were going to struggle because of the new head coach, like putting it together, like, or like struggling to gel like Cavs teams have in the past? I think it's a much bigger deal when you make a trade and you put new guys out there on the floor than when you change a head coach. Like, I think Kenny Atkinson's done a better job, obviously, running the offense. Their third quarter offense, I think, has been better.
And their defense is still there.
With the exception of a couple of games. Their defense has been there the entire season. But with the exception of a couple of games, their third quarter offense has been much better. I think that the pace has been much better. I think before they talked about pushing the pace, and there were times where they would stand there and dribble the air out of the ball. I think that they've got everybody involved so far this year. I do think it's underrated, and you have not made a very big deal of this, and you had every reason to. Dean Wade being in for Max Strus, I do think has been a big, and I don't know if it would have been this way had Max Strus not gotten hurt, so I don't want to be nasty about it with Max Strus. I think it's been a tremendous change for this team. I point to a lot of things that free up this offense, and maybe I'm making too big of a deal of it to you. You know, I've defended Max Strus a little bit because he'll go off and he'll have 30-point nights here and there and things like that, and you get a lot of nasty tweets. But I think that Dean Wade being the type of size, the type of length that you want in a wing, has opened up this offense more than what you would have got with Max Strus.
Yeah, Dean is not even shooting the ball all that well yet.
He's not, but he's still a threat that people have to take it, that people take into consideration.
Yeah, and you look.
I think a fan rolls their eyes at that, but I think NBA teams pay attention to that.
Kenny, they might be 7-0 with Max Strus too. I don't want to downplay, like,
okay,
make it seem like Max Strus isn't any good or anything like that. But this team, one of the disadvantages is having the two guard setup. Well, how do you, the two small guard setup? Well, how do you get past that? Well, you put a 6'9" player as the wing, and that changes everything. If he can, you know, just stay above water, well, he's done more than that. He has been excellent in the confines of their offense. You know, Mobley looks better, even though statistically it's not looking anything crazy better yet for Mobley. Like, statistically, it hasn't been a leap yet, but anybody who's watching has seen it with their eyes. They're like, oh, he's a different player. And Darius shooting 40% from three. He didn't have a good night. He got outplayed, you know, in that game against Milwaukee by Dame, but he still has been so much more confident, and he's not committing those egregious turnovers where anytime he gets into the paint, you're going, what was that decision? You're not seeing that so far this year.
216-474-0092. Let me give one more Browns thought in before we get back to Fix My Life coming up at 745, because it's a doozy. Richie in Cleveland. Richie, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Glad to have you, Richie. Go ahead.
You know, I've been waiting for a Cleveland Browns Super Bowl championship since 1967, and I'm really getting tired of waiting for the day that's never going to come. You know, critical mass is set in. This team is lost for too long. Guys don't want to come here. We have to overpay guys. You know, it's time to blow it up. Tell Dee Podesta and Barry to go back to selling used cars for a living. Talk to Denzel and Miles and Betonio and say, hey, would you guys be open to being traded to a contending team and give those guys a chance, you know, to play for a championship? And you say, well, you know, we'll draft a rookie quarterback and everything will be hunky-dory. What if he doesn't want to come here? If I was a top college quarterback prospect, I would not want to come to the Cleveland quarterback destroyer. You know what I mean? James, or what do you call it? Sean's going to be your quarterback for next year.
No, he can't do that.
You ain't going to get nobody's. You're going to either get some other guy who's at the end of the career or can't get a job someplace else, and he'll say, okay, I'll go to Cleveland and do my time in Cleveland Browns football jail, and maybe someday I can play for a contender. This team is going nowhere, and it's never going to go nowhere. And you can try and wish it to be different all you want. It's never going to change. It's never going to get better for the Browns. You can fool yourself every year till your heart's content. And how many years have you been doing this? You know? So I'm glad we got the Cavs and the Guardians, because the Browns, they just ain't never going to get it done, man. It ain't going to happen.
Richie, thank you very much for making the call. There's nothing I can say to him to change that mind. And the sad thing is, I think a lot of people agree with him. Coming up
next. Think he wasn't watching that game yesterday?
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Well, I love this one because sometimes you really do have to take matters into your own hands, even at the bakery. And that's where Ken Carman comes in this weekend.
Had to be done.
This story is amazing.
Had to be done. We had a game at Northwest on Saturday. And even though Eli's birthday party is next week, his birthday was still on Saturday. And we decided, let's just go to the grocery store and go get a cake and just, you know, have him write something on it. I says, okay, fine. And so I went there and there was nobody behind the counter. There was nobody behind the counter for like 10 minutes. And there was a woman came up. She got a sheet cake. I helped her with the sheet cake. Then I'm sitting there thinking, man, I've been sitting here with my thumb in certain places for 10 minutes. Axel's standing right there. I'm like, I got to get Eli a cake. And so I decided, I went to the back. They had a phone there. And I got on the thing because there's a button that says page. I said, well, what the hell? I said, the deli, busy as hell. The meat department, busier than hell, right? I go, no one's going to be able to help me. And they don't want to answer my question. They're dealing with customers. So I just hit the page button and I wrote,
assistance needed in the bakery. Assistance needed in the bakery, please. Thank you.
Hung up. A minute later, somebody comes out. Really helpful guy. Hey, can I help you? I go, yeah. Can I get that? That's a chocolate cake right there. Yeah. Can I get that cake? All right. Can you write something on there for me? He goes, oh, no. I go, what? He goes, I'm sorry. Our cake decorator called off. That's why there's no one back here. He's like, I can't. I don't know how to write on this stuff. I go, well, can I write on it? And he's like, yeah, I'll get you the gloves. So I went and I got the gloves.
Had you ever done that before?
Hell no, I never done nothing like that. So I went and got the gloves and I had the big, like he goes, which color do you want? I go, whichever one has the most in it. And he said, well, here's orange. You go, orange works.
Were
and
you
I wrote,
nervous?
No, I wrote happy birthday. People were watching me like, they're like, I can't believe he's really doing
Ken
this.
Has great penmanship.
There was a line of people. I put it up on social media.
Ken has great penmanship. Does Ken have great frostingmanship?
No, I do not.
Well, Ken has signed so many autographs over the years.
Okay, that's
He created your autograph.
He created an autograph for me.
He doesn't use it. And it's a perfect autograph that he could absolutely do, and he never did it. And I wrote happy birthday. His nickname is Mr. Fun because he just likes to have Mr. Fun. I wrote happy B-Day, Mr. Fun, and it looks like hell, but it worked out all right, and I think some people were a little bit surprised that I just kind of, it's like, hey, man, we got to get cake. I got to get the hell out of here. I got a coach's meeting later on tonight. Like, we got to get going on here, folks. I got football to watch. Like, there's a lot of stuff to go on. I can't just be waiting around. Hell, for all I know, I'd still be waiting there at that grocery store.
All right, when you picked up, was it the PA system for the entire place?
Oh, yeah, it was.
So they heard you all over.
Yes, they did. The entire
store.
Building. Yes.
That
and it
is
even
amazing.
Goes to outside, because you can hear it outside when they have it links to outside. So people in the parking lot heard me, too.
And did you hear yourself to where it was booming, and you're like, oh, yeah, they're going
to
hear this,
I tried to say it a little bit understated, because usually they say it very quickly because they're just trying to get in and out, and so I can mention it.
Didn't
so I
want
just
to sound like an angry customer.
No,
that needed
no,
assistance.
No. Did not want to do that. Did not. I didn't want them to think that some idiot has grabbed the phone and done it by themselves. Like usually they would jazz it up.
It takes me back. It takes me back to the old days at Russo's when I was. God, I had to be 10 years old, and I would get up. So it was very tall. I had to get up and stand on a bench, and then clobber. The PA microphone, because you had to press down on the button, and I would just start going 10 9 8 7 6 5 4 3 2 1.
I see. I did mine,
and
even
then
worse.
I would run away, and then I would do it again like 20 minutes later, and the store manager had to come over and go, hey, Can't do that.
I was younger than...
And then I do it again the next week.
I was younger than Axel in a Hills with my buddies, and I was like,
Matt to the boner department. Matt to the boner department. Thank you.
And hung up and ran off. Like, you would just do it all the time. You did it all the time.
Nothing like hearing your prepubescent voice go out over the entire store.
I did for a second in my head. I'm like, man, I'm 7 years old all over. I was a bad kid, man. I was 7 years old all over again, man. I did not care. And we had to get in. We had to get out. I had to get the cake. Eli, Mr. Fun needed his cake and a couple of his presents, and we had to move on. So is it wrong to take matters into my own hands? I mean, I come in peace. I'm not an angry customer.
I think you were fine.
I'm very understanding about their plight.
You were helping them out.
Yeah, I know that not a lot of people.
I mean, you already have to ring yourself up now at all these places. So
well, here you go.
Why can't you go back there and just help with the cakes? Pretty soon you're going to be baking them too.
Well, I can't bake the damn thing. I mean, I've baked Liz a cake before, but they don't end up that great. And plus, they're still in the pan, so it's like you're not going to get a good... I don't know how the hell they do that. They do a wonderful job. But either way, that's what I did. It was a good time.
Yeah, I don't know if you should be going back in the cake department, though.
I'm not advocating for people to go back there if there's no one there. I waited 10
one
minutes.
One by one. You're next, sir.
You're a public figure, Ken. You need to set a better example than that.
What is that supposed to mean?
Phones and talking over the PA.
Well, I'm not just trying to pick up random phone. I'm trying to get in and get out. I think that they can appreciate that.
If Ken was like an accountant, does he do that?
No.
Why not?
This is Ken Carmen's celebrity status.
Because he's probably thinking, well, what? Is anybody really going to have a problem with this? People like to see me.
Wait,
things.
Hold on.
Because it'll be fun.
Why not?
Put a sign out front. Ken Carmen's decorating cakes for the next 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's a good promo. Don't give him ideas.
Oh, you want me to do that? Like what? A charity cake decorating deal?
Let's go.
It's not good decorating.
Hopefully, all that frosting gets on the cake, and it's just a guy standing back there with the whipped cream.
The frosting was decadent.
Oh, man, that's a great TikTok video.
Frosting,
that'll go viral.
Yes. And he enjoyed it. Liz, I told Liz, I go, I just had to go back and grab one. She goes, no, there's no way. I go, absolutely, I did. And then she saw the writing. She goes, you really wrote this because there's no way an actual cake decorator would write. I go, you bet your ass. What's done is done. They were very nice people.
For the record, Ken's frostingmanship does not match his penmanship.
No, nope. So it's not there. As easy as they make it look.
It's there. It was not. I didn't think it was going to be easy, and it was even harder than I thought it was going to be.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.